As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
You are now tuned into anything potable, the most honorable, the most audible. Like Paul Pierce when he was fresh out the hospital. Like Antoine when he shimmied after shots went through. So tell me why you mad even.
Welcome to Holy Boston Celtics Podcast here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I am your host, Sam Jam Packard, professional sports fan, joined as always by El Nino, the kid, the god, the legend, Celtics beat reporter from The Athletic. And the Celtics lost. Come back all the way down from 3-0. Wild buzzer beater in game 6. And then first play of the game, Jason Tatum turns his ankle and didn't get much better from there. They missed their first 10 threes. Jaylen Brown, I think, had more turnovers than made field goals. Aside from a run of Derek White points in the third quarter, there was just nothing really positive about this Boston Celtics effort in Game 7. And now their season is over. Jay King, you were there. You were a lot closer to the action than I was. I'll ask you again, what the hell happened out there?
Well, Tatum getting hurt on the first play of the game just absolutely crushed them. That was one of the biggest factors, obviously. He could not move. It was obvious. He played a ton of minutes anyway. It was obvious from that point on he could not burst. They were running offense through Jaylen Brown, which they don't normally do. It's usually Tatum in charge of the offense. They went to a streak stretch where it was Derek White in charge of things, where they were just kind of letting him create stuff. There was, like, Tatum was trying to get out of the actions defensively, which is never his MO. There was one play late in the third quarter where the Heat seemed to realize it and Jimmy targeted Tatum. And it was like, oh, yeah, they see what everyone else does. Tatum just cannot move. And once Tatum was compromised, that means they were going to need to shoot well. They were going to need Jaylen Brown to play well. They were going to need to have a big defensive game. And none of that really happened. Jaylen was just sloppy all game, forced some stuff. Turned it over a lot. He was really down on himself. The poor guy was just looked crushed after the game. But he wasn't good after Tatum was out and they needed him to step up and do more. It didn't work out. And then the offense just never, ever got going, even in the slightest, except for that one Derek White flurry that brought them within 7 or 8. And then they had a few chances to get it closer. And just couldn't score. And then finally Miami. I thought the killer was like Tatum opening play of the fourth quarter. They're down 10, still within striking distance at least. Rob catches it in the short corner, bounces it to Tatum, and he has a layup.
Smoked it.
Probably would have even dunked it maybe if he were healthy and smoked it. And then the Heat scored. And then it was kind of a rout from there. But
I mean,
they
think
they equally, had nothing.
equally as bad was the end of the third quarter. I think they got it to 8 points with a chance to cut it to six. And then I'm not going to play the ref game, but I do think there was two kind of missed calls there at the
travel on Tatum.
Well, there was a travel on Tatum, which I think was a horrendous call. But then Caleb Martin, you know, who got absolutely robbed for not being named Eastern Conference MVP.
He was on a series long heater.
He was the best player in this series.
The Jimmy heater Butler never stopped.
He had some highs in game two, but then Jimmy Butler didn't show up for games three through six. And Caleb Martin was just there consistently and just did not miss shots. But at the end of the third quarter, Tatum got to the free throw line because Miami picked up a lot of fouls in that quarter. I think they got it within six. And then Jimmy Butler, it looked to me from my vantage point like he stepped out of bounds, swings the ball. Caleb Martin hits a three. The one thing I have issue with Caleb Martin's performance throughout this entire series, he has no idea where his foot placement is. He's constantly shooting threes that just get reviewed and hits a two. So that I have in my notes, he hits a three, but I think he actually got kitted as a two. And then the following possession, it really looked like he either carried the ball or double dribbled, but then he got another, you know, fadeaway jumper because he's Caleb Martin. He's the GOAT. But like it was a opportunity to end the quarter on a kind of a run, make some progress in the third quarter, where I actually thought their defense was remarkably better than it was in the first half. I thought they were making things really hard on the Heat, but instead of like cutting into the Heat's lead significantly, they basically only chipped off one in that third quarter instead of chipping off like five. And then they had that start of the fourth quarter, like you mentioned, where they pretty much died right there in that instance, giving up a 7-0 run to start the fourth.
Yeah. The PA guy called Caleb Martin Cody Martin at one point.
Eddie Palladino, a pro's pro. You know, like I made that same mistake, and then he just torched the team. There was like only a couple of times this year.
Shouldn't everybody know his name? Caleb Martin was unbelievable.
I think he's hit three threes in a game only like four times this season, but then he averaged three threes a game for this entire series. Like, he actually was unbelievable. He was much better offensive option than Bam. But then the Heat just did you got to respect the Heat for just like one, taking a terrible loss in game six and coming out and just keep on battling. But just like their constant motion, their offense, their talented players, like Gabe Vincent hit some big shots tonight. Max Strus hit a ridiculous three off an inbounds pass where he shot it with like 12 seconds left in the shot clock and multiple full feet behind the line, and it went in. Duncan Robinson is so much more than just a shooter now. He's like, how many times did he beat the Celtics backdoor cuts, especially Al Horford in this series? Like, you have to give them a lot of credit, but I would give Caleb Martin the most credit, and I blame I'm going to blame Tim Bontemps for voting for
Why was everybody blaming Tim Bontemps? So I have a group chat with Bontemps, and everybody was blaming Bontemps, even though four other writers also voted for Jimmy. Everyone was like just blaming Bontemps for the entirety of that vote. I thought it could have gone to either guy.
Choose to blame Bontemps and Ben Rohrbach, because I was sitting next to Ben Rohrbach the entire game just talking about how great Caleb Martin was, and apparently he didn't listen to me whatsoever. Apparently, my opinion mattered.
I had a chat
zero
with Ben Rohrbach about it. He was very pro Jimmy in that discussion. I said I would have voted for Caleb, but I didn't. I had a vote last year. They took it away from the kid this year.
Who'd you vote for last year?
Tatum.
That makes sense. Didn't Bontemps vote for Jimmy Butler last year as well?
Yes, he did.
The guy's addicted to Jimmy. That's why we blame Bontemps, because he got the vote wrong last year and he got the vote wrong this year. 2 years of wrong from Tim Bontemps.
Shout out to Bontemps, one of my good friends. After watching three conference finals in the last 4 years between these two teams, I think it's safe to say that the more these teams go through shit, the more it's their superpower. Like, the Heat just had an awful year this year. They barely made the playoffs. They almost lost to the Bulls in the second play-in game after losing the first play-in game to Atlanta, and it just makes them stronger. The Celtics lost three games to start the series. Everyone thought they were dead, and it just made them stronger. The Celtics' biggest mistake was winning in too exciting of a fashion in game six, devastating a fashion to Miami. And it just made the Heat stronger. These are these two teams have really like controlled the Eastern Conference for most of the last 4 years with that one Bucks year in between, because they can just go through a ton of stuff and find a way to keep fighting and keep playing and keep moving forward. That's the biggest thing with these two teams. They're both talented. The Celtics probably think they're more talented. They both can just go through a ton of stuff. And for the Celtics, a lot of it was self-inflicted. The third quarter in game one, they were up 9 at halftime and just totally fell apart. The fourth quarter of game two, they're up double digits. Let Caleb Martin get free. Let Duncan Robinson hit a couple of shots and then kind of get punked the rest of the way in that game. Game three, they just laid a dud. It's like, you cannot lose. History tells us you cannot lose three straight games to start a series and still come back. And you see why tonight. It's because you're not always going to... Because
then Jason Tatum can roll an ankle in game seven and you don't have any margin for error whatsoever.
And then you just got nothing left. And after that, it would have taken a lot to beat the Heat, I think. Because Tatum couldn't defend. He couldn't get out in transition. There were times when he would have attacked any other time and just kind of passed it around the corner, around the perimeter. Like, he was just totally compromised.
He was and it makes sense just like how gingerly he was moving. He had that one dunk and it just like, it looked like landing for him was painful. And you're right, just like giving up offensive possessions. I was like, you go over there and I'll just kind of be a distraction. And like, when you lose your absolute best player, there's not really a lot the Celtics could have done. We saw them go to Jaylen Brown, who was, again, bad, and he would post-game was like, yes, he failed. Derek White had some moments there. He also got hurt. He went to the locker room at some point. But it's not like the Celtics had a lot of good bench options. Malcolm Brogdon came back in this game and was a minus 15 in his 6 minutes and was just kind of dreadful. He airballed one of his first three, and it was just way off, and I think he smoked a bunny later. But he's just,
I would not have played him.
I don't think they should have played him, considering they were able to survive and win in game six. But I still think, even with the Tatum injury, like, I don't know what you're gonna do. Like, they had a similar shooting performance in game six, but Tatum kept them in the game with his just getting to the free throw line constantly in the second quarter and just his bucket getting generally in the second half, and they just didn't have any source of offense other than a few Derek White, you know, floaters in the lane and drawing some fouls there. But after that, like, there was just nothing they could really do to generate enough buckets. And actually in the third quarter, where I thought they improved on defense, there's nothing on the offensive end they could do.
Yeah. I mean, And Tatum is always the key to their offense forever. Like, Marcus Smart orchestrates a lot of it, but he does it in actions with Tatum. They need Tatum to collapse the defense, get guys open. And when he's not capable of doing that, they try to give it to Jaylen. And Jaylen's capable of that sometimes. But this Heat team has been a real challenge for him in each of the last two playoffs. And he never really figured that out. It was, and especially like when he has to be the primary playmaker and he's not playing off of Tatum, that's not the role you really want him in against a really smart, aggressive defense.
He was especially bad tonight, and especially sloppy with his turnovers and like high handle, just getting poked away. Like, that is not his natural role. You don't want him to be the main facilitator, but on top of that, he just had some brutal, brutal turnovers there. Like,
yeah, it was bad at times. And I mean, he held himself accountable, said I was terrible when the team needed me most, and just kind of took it on the chin. But that's the second year in a row in the playoffs where his decision making has become a big issue at the highest level of the game. And I thought he was actually pretty good against the Warriors last year, but the Heat series, the turnovers were more of an issue for him. And that's something he's going to have to really spend a lot of time shoring up, because I do think he showed some games where he was able to manage it better, but never fully, never got out of the turnover and bad decision-making, kind of just blinders on habit that he shows sometimes. And tonight was just a really, really bad game for him. The Celtics really had history just waiting for them, man. Like, just waiting for them.
So annoying. I didn't let myself have hope about this series until the Derek White shot. And then I walked into the TD Garden day, the cock of the walk. You know, I thought the Celtics by a billion. I didn't let myself voice that out loud, but that was my internal feeling, because I didn't want to get too cocky. But yeah, like, they had the Red Sox thing. They had the coming back, like, no team's ever done it. They had all the people writing columns about how if anyone was going to do it, it was this team. And
I'm telling you, they made a mistake.
They goofed by, it.
They hit the Heat with too clean a gut punch. And then they just charged up the Heat. The Heat take gut punches and just, like, plug themselves into it, and it just re-energizes them. And they come back, it's just stronger. They live for adversity. They thrive off. They eat adversity.
The worst thing the Heat could do in the NBA Finals is win Game One.
Yeah, no, they can't win Game One. It would be terrible for them if they won Game One. They have to take like a 47 point, 17 rebound, 14 assist night from Jokic, and everybody just thinks they have no chance. And that's when they'll come back and win Game Two by like 40. With Caleb Martin scoring 74 points.
Caleb Martin, NBA MVP, NBA Finals MVP.
The people were upset about Robert Williams not playing more than 14 minutes. I thought he was really hurt. So he went to the locker room area a couple
multiple
of times.
Multiple times, right?
I was back there one of the times, and he was just like doubled over in a ton of pain and just looked really, really... Like he was really bothered by something. I'm not sure what it was, but he was just like doubled over in the back area, just in all sorts of trouble. So I thought that was probably a big reason why he only played 14 minutes, besides the fact that they really trust Al Horford, and obviously.
And they needed some threes and some scoring. And he was actually, Robert Williams was like, one thing the Celtics did pretty damn well tonight, both Robert Williams and Al Horford, they're pretty good on the offensive glass and created a lot of opportunities. I mean, I think it helped that the Celtics were missing all of their shots, you know, to create a lot more offensive rebounding opportunities. But I do think Horford and Williams were decent. Like, they're not the prime reason why they lost this game. I thought they, like, did enough. They did their jobs. But again, I think it all comes back to Tatum just not being right.
Yeah, Tatum not being Tatum was just an enormous
just
deal.
A shitty way to end a seven game series like that. Like, that game was not fun. I guess it was for Heat fans, but it's just like a competitive game would have been so much more entertaining, and what this series deserved after Game Six.
Like, tonight sucked for the Celtics, and they were bad. It's like their offense was terrible in the first. Their defense went away in the second. But to me, this was not at all like the series where the series was lost.
No, the series was lost,
like,
in game
two. Sometimes your best player is going to sprain an ankle and you're going to lose that game because he's got nothing. This was, you go down 3-0 and you have no more margin for error, and you're screwed if something like that happens.
So are we blaming Grant Williams for poking the bear in game two?
No. Is that where... No.
Gotta blame someone.
No. No. Grant Williams does not deserve blame for poking the bear. Everyone should have been poking it. Like, Celtics were
not bear pokers. They're not. If I have any critique of Jason Tatum, is that he's too even-keeled. And just, like, doesn't have the kind of assholery that I think is needed to win, but maybe that's just me trying to look for an excuse. But you're right. I think he should, like, when's the last time Jason Tatum got in a good shouting match with another player? He's always talking about respecting other players and working out with them in the offseason, but he's never gotten a good brouhaha with any rival member in the playoffs. That's my one critique of his game.
You want him getting brouhahas more often?
I'd like it, yeah. Maybe not a regular season brouhaha, but maybe a nice screaming match in during the playoffs. Jaylen Brown will at least get feisty with some guys. He had a yelling match with Kyle Lowry, but Jason Tatum is too much of a respecter of the human condition, and he doesn't do that.
That said, he's typically been amazing in elimination games, and probably would have had a big game tonight if his ankle had allowed him to.
He wore
a shirt that would have been so badass if the Celtics had won.
It would have been such good marketing for us too.
It was Kevin Garnett was on the back, and it said anything is possible on the front. It was the perfect shirt to wear tonight if the Celtics had won. Like, if he showed up after scoring 38 points and having 13 rebounds and then just strutted in with that, that would have been powerful. Also, but instead he hobbled in with a busted ankle after a 19 point loss.
Yeah.
And it didn't hit the same.
No. Also wasted in this game was Isaiah Thomas was back in the Garden. Rajon Rondo, Paul Pierce were there, but imagine this game's close heading into the fourth quarter. It was actually an electric environment before the game. Your hero, personal hero, Fran Rogers with the anthem. People were pumped and Jack singing along, or the rare sing-along to the anthem. That's how you know people were ready. I thought it was an absolutely electric environment. But imagine close game, fourth quarter, hand to Isaiah Thomas, king of the fourth. It would have got the place jumping, and the Celtics couldn't even get it close enough. They immediately gave up a 7-0 run. They couldn't even give IT the moment he deserved on the Jumbotron.
Yeah, he was on the Jumbotron and pointed at his wrist like, it's time.
Yeah, but it was the first quarter at that point.
And the Celtics, it was time, though. It was time, and the Celtics.
Steve Aoki was there, your guy, your main man, wearing those big red boots, and I think that's frustrating. Where was McLovin? Where was McLovin, Jay? He was there for game 5, he was there for game 6, but no McLovin in game 7.
Were there any 2004 Red Sox in attendance?
Kevin Millar made a video. Johnny Damon said after game 6 he was going to attend, but Johnny Damon says lots of things after a beverage or two. I did not see Curtis Laskanik anywhere.
Mark Bellhorn, where the fuck were you, man? Yeah.
Doug Mankiewicz,
this is your moment.
I saw Orlando Cabrera at a dive bar about a month and a half ago at a terrible, terrible comedy show. And you can't make one appearance at game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals, Orlando Cabrera? I don't care how many cool handshakes you have. Ridiculous.
Do you know who was there? Rodney Harrison.
Wearing a Marcus Smart jersey.
Rodney Harrison.
I have Rodney Harrison's number in my phone for some for when I used to work for WEEI. I like had a bunch of random like sports people we used to call up, and every day I think about texting Rod. Actually, not every day; that'd be kind of insane. But sometimes I'm scrolling along in my phone, and just be like, "Huh, I could really reach out to Rodney right now," and I choose not to.
That's probably the right choice. So, how do you look back at we're going to obviously break down more offseason stuff and hash out everything about the season later, but how do you kind of look back on the journey this season has been? And I'll just leave it at that. How do you look back at the journey this season has been?
It's been a wild ride. Like, Ime getting fired or getting suspended 3 days before the season is insane. Joe Mazzulla taking over, and just the entire Joe Mazzulla experience has been the wildest of rides. I don't know. It's been pretty tough to be in the building and have them end their season at the TD Garden in front of the home fans. That's been pretty disappointing 2 years in a row. I definitely feel like the resiliency has been
both impressive and frustrating, like to, before the playoffs, for Jason Tatum to say, we know what we messed up last year and we're going to need to avoid that. We need to have the right mentality. And then to lose game five to the Hawks, to lose game five to the Sixers, to fall down 0-3 to the Heat is pretty frustrating, because it feels like they know they were so close last year, and they talked all offseason about how close they, like how much they wanted it, how much that fueled them. And then to make the same mistakes is pretty frustrating. At the same time, to respond the way they did in the Hawks series, in the 76ers series, to win game six and seven, in this series, even to get it to a game seven, is like, this team is so fucking good. It's just, it, I don't know. I'm a man of many, many opinions. I'm a man of nuance right now, but it's like, yes, it's frustrating to lose, but only one team can win every year. And like, I feel like they're in a pretty good position, but to kind of fall to the same mistakes they had last year is ultimately, I think, the most frustrating part. Is like, you give them credit for coming back against the Sixers. You give them credit for even getting this to a game seven. But like, you're, as you said earlier, they didn't lose the series in game, like, because game seven, they lost, like they lost the series because they gave up all they had for margin for errors. And they were managed to survive a terrible shooting performance in game six and still win. But like, you can't do that two games in a row. And so don't fuck around in the first three games. Don't fuck around in the like fourth quarter of game two. And then you won't have to find out. Like, they should have won the series in five or six games. Like, they just based on talent, and like, if they played the right way, they should have just won this series. And so that's, I think, is the most frustrating part. Like, that they have all the capabilities of doing it. It's just, it feels like execution, not a kind of a talent issue, which is frustrating.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Victorinox, the makers of the original Swiss Army knife, have been a reliable companion for life's everyday challenges, mastering functionality, innovation, iconic design, and uncompromising quality with its products. The Victorinox Swiss Army knife provides you with all the things you don't think about until you need it. Tweezers, a screwdriver, and even a corkscrew. With the Victorinox Swiss Army Knife, you can be prepared to master everyday life. You can find Victorinox Swiss Army Knives at Dick's Sporting Goods.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Yeah, in some ways, I feel like the finals, or the Eastern Conference Finals, was a microcosm of the season itself. Like, they started off in such an insane manner in the season. Just days before training camp, Joe Mazzulla found out he was head coach. And obviously, it was a learning experience for him. Beyond him, they just lost a lot of talent on their coaching staff. It was Ime Udoka, Will Hardy, Damon Stoudemire left in the middle of the season. Like, that's a ton of basketball experience and knowledge that just walked away with no replacement. I do wonder if they wished that they would have replaced at least one of those guys to just give another voice on the coaching staff, to give another voice in the meetings, to have another X and O guy on the staff, whatever. that was, there was a lot of talent loss on that staff. And then, but the team like just kind of handled everything in stride for a while. And I thought Joe did a great job managing all of that and just bringing the group together back after that Ime thing that could have just blown everything to pieces. And it was kind of the same way in the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, they lose game two and in a super frustrating way to drop the first two games at home. They then lay an utter egg in game three to go down 3-0. And whether it was Joe or Topgolf or a speech from Matt Reynolds,
watching documentaries about the Red Sox, everyone was looking for that one storyline to give.
They could have fallen apart at that time and didn't, and fought like hell, and then just kind of. But in the end, like the biggest reason they failed was because they were super resilient, but they never were able to just focus for entire games at a time. It was, they would lose focus in for like three games at a time in the regular season. They lost focus coming out of the All-Star break. It haunted them all year that they couldn't reach their best until they were in a time when they needed it or thought that they needed to show it. And that's like a great trait to have when your backs are against the wall to be able to summon that. But the next step for this team is being able to do that all the time rather than just after you've put yourself in a near-death situation. Like, if they could just play like they typically did in elimination games for the entire playoffs, they would have just dusted the Hawks. They would have probably had a shorter series with the 76ers. And the 76ers were really good. Like, they had the MVP. I thought James Harden played great in that series. But there were just times when the Celtics just had super brain farts. And I do think Mazzulla had a lot to learn as a head coach. I thought he
kind of learned it, feel like, in each series. I feel like he,
I thought he learned it. Exactly. Like, going big was the key to the Philadelphia series. Moving the ball side to side and sending more help toward Jimmy and Bam was a key to winning three straight in the Eastern Conference Finals. But to be like one of the best head coaches, you have to do that stuff before you really need it. And so the Celtics never quite reached that level. Joe never quite reached that level. And it's hard to know where the season would have ended up with Ime Udoka. Maybe in the same place. The players have shown a lot of the same flaws that they have for years, whether it's fourth quarter crunch time offense, whatever. But I thought Joe actually did a pretty good job, like all things considered, to keep everything together through everything that group went through was quite a feat to me. And maybe it says more about the players than it does about Mazzulla, but I think it certainly says something about Mazzulla that he was able to get them to rally after losing Ime, that he was able to get them to rally after falling behind 3-2 against Philly and again in the Eastern Conference Finals. But at some point, like, they just need to have their fire lit all the time. And that's just how they're going to take the next step if they do take the next step.
I believe it was the great Ralph Waldo Emerson who once said, "A foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds." And, you know, I think that makes all the sense in the world.
Where did you just Google that quote? Did you just Google stupid inconsistency quote and come with some hobgoblin nonsense?
I've had consistency as the hobgoblin of little minds in the back pocket forever. I did Google it to confirm to the Ralph Waldo Emerson, but that's just a nice little turn of phrase that you guys can use now if you'd like to. I got nothing more else to say about this game. We're going to get into plenty of off-season talk. People are ready to do crazy things. We'll have to talk them down off the ledge. I also have to dive into the CBA because Danger Cart's writing magnum opuses about what the CBA means for this team, and so I'll have to go and figure that out soon. But just to get into some junk from tonight's game, how devastated was I in the media room after the game where I decided to leave TD Garden? I just want to get your perspective, anyway, your judgment on that move to leave TD Garden, because I didn't feel like, for my own well-being, sitting there in that room of failure was good for me.
Whatever you need to find happiness.
Thank you. There was no happiness in that room.
You can't be hobgoblin it though. You gotta stay consistent next time, I would say.
I'm trying to think. Any other junk from the game? We got a lot of it. I mean, again, shout out to Fran Rogers, the GOAT. I hate Kyle Lowry. That's a pretty thing.
I ran into Fran Rogers. I was able to tell him he's a GOAT. It was a great moment for me.
Was he receptive of your compliments?
Yeah.
What do you think is going
to
happen?
I walked by him and I stopped him. And I was like, you're the national anthem GOAT. And then he just kind of looked at me like, all right, thanks, man.
Thanks, buddy. Keep it on. Keep moving.
But hopefully it meant something to him.
What do you think is going to happen in the finals? I think I might. I tweeted this out earlier. If this Heat team wins, I'm quitting podcasting. I'm done. I'm gone.
That's it forever?
Yeah. I just don't like the Heat. I don't like playoff Jimmy, getting the name Playoff Jimmy, and then only showing up for half a series, and then Tim Bontemps ruining everything and giving him MVP. I don't like Kyle Lowry. I don't like Heat culture. I don't like Pat Riley and his fake Italian ways. Bam Adebayo is extremely overrated and does not do anything on the offensive end. Max Strus, he's fine. But
there was a funny moment at the end of the game. Jason Tatum was like hobbling into the locker room. Max Strus was calling for him, like, Jason. And I think he wanted to just congratulate him or whatever.
He just wanted to rub it in his face. This is what you get for cutting me instead of taco.
Just wanted to say, like, you were great, whatever. And Jason either did not hear him or
chose not to.
I think he just didn't hear him, because Tatum did meet with a lot of the Heat players, but it was pretty funny because Strus like kept calling after him, kind of chased him for a little while, and then realized Tatum wasn't hearing him, and then just said hello to one of the Celtics security guys and spun off.
Anything else from the old Celtics post game? What did I miss? You know, when I left, you know, what did Joe Mazzulla have to say? Anything interesting?
Not really. This was just a great opportunity for the Celtics. Just a great opportunity, because the Heat were the 8 seed. They had a lot more talent, everyone thought, than the Heat. But honestly, like, the Heat bench, and I use Caleb Martin in that because he didn't start at the beginning of the series, though he did at the end. Most people thought the Celtics were the deepest team in the league. When it really came down to it in this series, they were not. Caleb Martin and Duncan Robinson were super important for the Heat in just about every game. And Malcolm Brogdon didn't do much. Grant Williams was like pretty good in a few games, but never super. Robert Williams like had some moments, but never really absolutely killed it. So it's like, it was the depth that beat them, which is weird because everybody thought they were the deeper team. And then, I mean, the first couple games, like, that's the regret right there. That's the regret. But yeah, it was probably the most frustrating part for the Celtics. We'll be looking back at just how great an opportunity this was of at least getting to the finals, and then having a pretty good matchup against Denver with probably a lot of ways to test Jokic defensively.
I thought they would have got steamrolled by Denver.
I don't know. They would have had a lot of ways to test Jokic's defense. They would have had, like,
they just wouldn't have been able to stop them, though. Unless you're relying on Grant Williams to play 35 minutes a game because he's Batman, which is always a silly nickname.
We'll never
just
see
that.
Let
me hold it in my heart that they would have got steamrolled by Denver, and that way this game doesn't mean anything.
We will never see that series.
Well, maybe next year, but well, who knows?
When that series comes, we'll get to that. If I'm still podcasting, you know, maybe the Heat win the
finals. Or Derek White. Derek White was going to be
the hero. He was going to be, now his moment gets forgotten.
The moment won't get forgotten because it was just crazy. But that was going to be iconic, absolutely iconic, if they had gone on to win a title. And he was great tonight, too. He didn't shoot the ball well from outside, but he was their only source of offense for a while. He was great. The Celtics just, they couldn't force turnovers either. They could not force turnovers in the last two games of the series, which was an enormous factor. And I thought, especially tonight, if they had forced turnovers, the Garden crowd would have gotten crazy if they got some buckets in transition.
Yeah, but they needed the easy buckets in transition. They were getting some stops there in the third quarter, but they never forced the turnovers to get the easy buckets, to get the crowd on their side, to like cut it to anything shorter than
And I thought Tatum's inability to score hurt them in a lot of ways, but in transition a lot. Like, he just couldn't attack in transition. Obviously, he's normally one of their best transition players, and he just would not attack because he just could not move with the ankle. Just a shit time to roll on here. And for a guy who's been so durable and has been able to just...
And really hasn't been injured his whole career.
Just a shit time to sprain an ankle.
I'd have to agree. That's pretty much going to do it from us. Like I said, I guess we'll probably be back later in the week. We'll do a live room, let the fans vent, talk early off-season stuff, maybe reflect on what's going on in the finals. But thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for tuning in all series and being with us with the playoff runs. It's been fun doing these post games. I'll try to get better headphones and be louder on the post game pods for the live rooms. But it's been a wild ride. Celtics fall game 7 to the Heat after coming back from 3-0 down. Some people describe this as funny. I have not been amused, but I'm glad you guys have joined in. For Jay King, the kid, the god, the legend, El Nino himself, I am Sam Jam Packard, and this has been
I think your scream was too loud and nobody heard it, or at least I didn't hear it.
I pulled the microphone away because I didn't want it to be too loud. I said
anything is potable.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Jay. You know, I hurt my ankle there and you stepped up on like Jaylen Brown.
Oh, Jesus.
He admitted he failed. He knew. He knows what he did.
Do you think the Celtics all use the term failed on purpose? like, don't ask me if this was a failure. It was a failure.
Take that, Giannis. Yeah, they just finally just took that moment to get a little catty against their Eastern Conference rival. Who knows?